Words of Scripture just proclaimed turn into beautiful melodies in each of your hearts.
So you noticed today, from looking at the bulletin, that we're going to be kind of talking about two themes, motherhood and friendship. And I've kind of tried to intersperse references to motherhood, whether it be the motherhood of God or our mothers on earth, and those who have gone before us, you know, throughout the bulletin. So kind of look for where, you know, we've talked about mothers a little bit. We have, you know, and you can kind of, when you get to the prayers of the people in here, you'll notice we have a prayer for all of our mothers on this Day of Mothers, and then I kind of go through a few things there. And then we have this text from Isaiah 66. And there's another text from Isaiah about the motherhood of God. And I'll say a few other things about the motherhood theme. But then we have this great theme of the friendship, of friendship. Friendship with Jesus and the priceless gift of friendship. And we're going to talk about that. And the hymns, you know, this morning's hymn, that verses 2 and verse 7. From this entrance hymn, My Song is Love Unknown, which celebrates the friendship that we have with Christ. So you might want to go back and reread those words verses 2 and 7, which celebrate our friendship with Jesus. And then, of course, we're going to end with a hymn, but you all know what a friend we have in Jesus, right? And we'll talk about that. It's a great hymn. By the way, that was a poem written by an Anglican from Northern Ireland. And he was just about to get married. He was engaged. And just before the wedding, his fiancée died. And then some time passed, and he got engaged again. And he was just about to get married again. And can you believe it? His second fiancée died. And then at a certain point, he migrated to Canada and was there and wanted to go back to visit his mother in Northern Ireland. It's from Northern Ireland. And he went to visit her, and while he was visiting her, she died. So he had three deaths right in a row. Boom, boom, boom. As a consequence, he wrote this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And he did not put it into the music. Another person put it into music, but he wrote the poem. So I thought that these were very appropriate. And again, just pay attention. You know, you might want to just pay attention to the words. And with that little background information, kind of give you a sense of friendship and friendship with Jesus. I don't know if you think so much about having a friendship with Jesus in your prayer life, in your personal life. I don't know if that's kind of common for you, thinking about what a friend is. A lot of times when we think about Jesus, we think of him as the Lord. We think of him as the Savior, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, and so on. And I wonder sometimes if we think of him as a friend. And when we think of love with Jesus, I think a lot of times we think of agape, the love of agape, charity, the love of God, and the love of neighbor. And so we say, well, we love Jesus with the love of agape. And we love our neighbor with the love of agape, and so on like that. And so we're kind of developing our relationship with Jesus if we're living out our love of neighbor, agape, and if we're living out our love of God, agape. But Jesus here in John's gospel is telling us that there is also a friendship with him. I no longer call you servants, but friends, because I have revealed to you all that the Father has revealed to me. So he wants you to be free. And the word, and you know, there's talk in here, this gospel text that we just read this morning. There's also talk about loving God and loving a neighbor. And the word there in the Greek is agape. But the word for friend here, philioi, philia in the Greek, friendship, love. So the gospel is telling us that agape, as Jesus understands it, should kind of have a friendship dimension to it. I wondered about that. And it's like, for example, you know, I remember You've all heard this old quip, you know, when we talk about we're supposed to love God and love our neighbor and even love our enemy with agape, right? So there are these people who will say quippingly, you know, they'll say, well, it's easy to love everybody in the abstract with agape. All neighbors, all enemies, all God. It's just the person next to me in the pew I can't stand. In other words, when love gets a little more concrete, specific. Oh yes, I love all God's creatures, love all neighbors. I even love my enemies, best I can. But Joe over here, or Maria over here. Friendship is not exactly the same as that, but it's close to that. It's like saying to us, just like I think Jesus, one of the things I think, it's not the only thing, of course, I don't claim to understand everything Jesus is saying to us. But I mean, one of the things Jesus is saying to us is that he wants to have a relationship with people which is not just abstract and vague and fuzzy, but he wants to have a more intimate relationship with us. Knowing us by name. Think about your friends. Now, of course, it's hard to define what a friend is, isn't it? Different people have different definitions of friends, what it means to be a friend. For example, you work with people. It's your job. Are all the people you work with your friends? You might say some of them. You might say they are. You might not say they all are. You might say some are. So if the people you work with at your job are people you see relatively commonly, you might say that those are your companions. But they're not necessarily all your friends. A few of those might be your friends. Now, again, what is a friend there? What does it mean? Well, we're in a sort of general way, we're sort of saying something like, there's something special, there's something a little more close about friends, a little more intimate. So I noticed when I try to golf twice a week, God help my partners who put up with me. And men frequently do this, and women too sometimes. And the people I golf with regularly, I would call them friends, not just companions. And why would I call them friends? Because, as we men do, and women do it in their own way, we're more than companions. We share things. There's a greater intimacy. As men are intimate in the way men are versus the way women are or other people are. But women also have their own kind of thing like that. So Jesus is saying something like that. Friendship is Jesus is saying, I want to get to know you more fully. I want to get to know you more personally. More intimately. If agape remains without friendship, then it becomes rather vague and general and amorphous and blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, friendship needs agape because, you know, friends can become cliquish. Friends sometimes have a hard time telling each other the truth. They don't want to offend the friend. You notice here Jesus, when he talks about the friend, he says the true friend has to obey God's commandments. Otherwise, you aren't a true friend. So if you're going to have a friendship with somebody and your friend is doing something that you can't approve of, obey my commandments. You must, in some way, somehow, make this known to your friend. Otherwise, it's not friendship in the way Jesus understands it. So that we don't want to be so vague and amorphous that it just our love is just out there in a fairy tale world. But we don't want to be so particular and so intimate in our relationships, our friendship relationships, that we don't recognize our obligations to agape, to the gospel, to Jesus. Somewhere in there, I think, is what I ask you to consider today. And then the last thing I want to mention, this is Mother's Day, of course. And yesterday, by the way, in our calendar of saints, maybe some of you know this, if you say the office, you know, the morning prayer and evening prayer and so on, you will know this. But on our list of saints, the saint that we commemorated yesterday was Lady Julian of Norwich. One of my favorite, perhaps one of yours, British hermit, kind of anchoress, they call her. Anyway, she wrote some wonderful stuff. But she talked here. This is one of her quotes that I wanted to mention to you in one of her writings. She said, "Jesus Christ is our very mother. We have our being in him, where the ground of motherhood begins. As truly as God is our father, so truly is God our mother." So Lady Julian of Norwich. Like Isaiah, chapter 66. So as we think about mothers today, I'd like to suggest to you that we think about them as images of the motherhood of God. At their best. Sometimes our mothers fail. And I'm not just thinking of our biological mothers, although those would be the common mothers we would think of, but anyone who has served as a mother for us in our lives. Sometimes when the relationship between the biological mother and biological child kind of is rocky or is falling apart, sometimes other people step in, aunts or clergy perhaps, or teachers, or somebody steps in and becomes a mother figure. And those are very, very important. And again, that relationship between the mother and the friend, that motherhood has got to be more than a biological event. Biological part of it is very important. No one wants to downplay the importance of biology and of our bodily connections to one another. That would be foolish to try to ignore that or downplay that or anything like that. But, you know, we have adoptive parents who are not biological parents. And sometimes, again, people can abuse the adoption kind of thing too, abuse that. But if they don't, you know, when people adopt, that means they're really choosing, right? Really choosing this child. So all things being equal, adoption points out to us that a mother has chosen. It's not just the result of. My mother used to kid, my sister is 14 years younger than me and my brother, and she used to always accuse my sister of being the surprise and the accident. But she didn't mean that she's just an accident. She loved her just as much as she loved the rest of us. But sometimes when we are biological children, it can be that they are an accident and treated as such. Sadly. So adoptive parents or others who become the step in as parent figure, as mother figures, become then they choose. See, there's that friendship element. They choose you. And Jesus, I think, is saying, at our best, we must try to actively love one another, not just in a vague way, but by choice, by desire, by affection.